go. I am blessed beyond the curse, for His promise will endure. His joy is gonna be my strength. Oh, sorrow may last for a night, His joy comes in the morning. I'm fading my sorrow.
Negative. I get tired of the negative. To be able to say, yes, Lord. Amen, Lord.
Amen, yes.
Amen, Lord. That
hallelujah.
You can feel the joy perking in
yes,
you.
Yes, Jesus.
I feel the joy of the Lord coming. Rest on me. I feel the joy of the Lord delivering me. I feel the joy of the Holy Ghost all over me. Feel the joy of the Lord coming, rest on me. I feel the joy of the Lord delivering me. I feel the joy of the Holy Ghost all over me. I'm a little tired of the devil's games, keeping me in bondage through my sorrow and pain. I deserve better, I won't go another day. I'm here to claim deliverance in Jesus' name. I feel the joy of the Lord coming, fresh on me. I feel the joy of the Lord delivering me. I feel the joy of the Holy Ghost all over me. I feel the joy of the Lord coming, set on me. I I feel the joy of the Lord delivering me. I feel the joy of the Holy Ghost all over me. I am royal blood flowing through my veins. I'm a child of the King. I've been buried in His name. There is no devil that can come against me. I am blessed. I've been bought. I've been set free. I feel the joy of the Lord falling fresh on me. I feel the joy of the Lord delivering me. I feel the joy of the Holy Ghost all over me. I feel the joy of the Lord falling fresh on me. I feel the joy of the Lord delivering me. I feel the joy of the Holy Ghost all over me. I've been loose, I've been set free. So pardon me a moment while I have a jubilee. For the joy of the Holy Ghost all over me. I've been loose, I've been set free. So pardon me a moment while I have a jubilee. I feel the joy of the Holy Ghost all over me. The joy of the Lord falling fresh on me. I feel the joy of the Lord delivering me. I feel the joy of the Holy Ghost all over me. I feel the joy of the Lord falling fresh on me. I feel the joy of the Lord delivering me. I feel the joy of the Holy Ghost all over me.
Mighty God in Jesus, Lord, hallelujah. Let's all raise our hands to Him today. Mighty, mighty God, we glorify You today. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Oh, we glorify You, Lord. Praise Your holy name. Amen. I wish my message was on the day of Pentecost right now. Amen. But all the Word of God is good. It's all profitable for doctrine, so it's all good. Some of it we just feel like shouting. Some of it we feel like crawling under the pew. Because the Word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword. Amen. Our lesson today, amen, is on leadership and respect. Amen. We should respect our leaders, shouldn't we? Let's all stand as we go to the reading of God's Word. In 1 Samuel 24, verse 5. And he said unto his men, the Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth my hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord. So David stayed his servants with these words, and suffered them not to rise against Saul. But Saul rose up out of his cave and went his way. Verse 20, chapter 26. First chapter 26 or 1 Samuel, beginning with verse 12. Amen. God is good, isn't He? All right, starting with verse 12. So David took the spear and the curse of water from Saul's bolster, and they got themselves away, and no man saw it, nor knew it, neither awakened, for they were all asleep, because a deep sleep came from the Lord, was fallen upon them. Verse 13, or verse 24, 25, 23 and 24, pardon me. The Lord render to every man his righteousness and his faithfulness, for the Lord delivereth there into my hand today. For I would not stretch forth my hand against the Lord's anointed. And behold, as thy life was much set by the day, in mine eyes, so let my life be much set by the eyes of the Lord, and let him deliver me out of all tribulation. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity, Lord, to come before you with the word of God. Mighty God, we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' sweet name. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. We take our text today from a place in the Bible where that David, amen, he could have killed his enemy two different times. But because David respected the Lord's anointed, he wouldn't lay hand upon Saul. He did in some way. He cut off the skirt of Saul to humiliate him, but he repented of that because he knew the Bible said, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. Amen. There's sometimes that maybe we see things in the Bible that we say, well, I just don't know about that. Well, I don't know about that, and some of it too. But we just believe what the Bible says. Amen. We'll all understand it better by and by, and that's what it says, the song says, and that's what we'll do. Amen. But in our leadership today, we choose our leaders because of the respect of others had for them. Amen. Isn't that the way we chose Brother Titus Johnson here? We chose him because we didn't know him. Amen. But we chose him because of the reputation he had from others. Amen. That's the only way we can do it, and because the Bible says to do it that way. Amen. Once we've done it that way, don't he deserve our respect? Because he came according to the word of God, and that puts the anointing upon him because of the word of God put it there. Amen. Whenever the word of God came by Samuel, when he anointed him, you know, he was the word of God then. He was the word of God in shoe leather. Amen. But when he anointed those, amen, to take his message or even to be a king, amen, that was the word of God. And we have that same confidence in the word of God when we choose our leaders. We say, well, who anointed him? The word of God anointed him. Who caused us to be saved? The word of God caused us to be saved. And that's the same word, amen, that we go by. When we go by the word of God according to the word of God, it's as if that individual was doing it. Because the word of God does it. Amen. Jesus went in his temptation. Now, Jesus, we talk about leadership, but Jesus is the only perfect leader. The only perfect leader that we have in the Bible that we can go to. He was without sin. So that made him perfect. Amen. I know some think Jesus could have sinned. If you want to think that, go ahead, but I don't. You know why? I've mentioned this once before, but amen, when God was planning salvation for man, he couldn't find one man's blood worthy to be sacrificed, not one. But yet, the animal's blood was okay to push that sin forward a year. And why was that? Because there was no sin in the animal's blood. There was sin in the blood of man. So if Jesus come with sinful blood, he wouldn't have been worthy. If God can make an animal without sin, God can make man without sin. Amen. And that's the way I see Jesus Christ. I see him as our perfect sacrifice. I see him without spot or wrinkle. I see him as white as snow. Why? Because he's God Almighty in the flesh. How could it be otherwise? Amen. But our focus thought for today, though it is often easy to be critical of leadership, we must instead choose to be respectful of the leaders God has placed in our lives. Amen. We might say, well, maybe they're too young. Or maybe they don't know as much as I do. Amen. But God put them there. Amen. God put them there. And they deserve our respect. You take a leader by himself. He's not very strong. He can't do much. But you take a multitude behind him. Amen. We can do great things. Amen. So, a lot of time in order to make excuses for ourselves, we could start blaming the pastor. Well, he should be doing this. Amen. I said something to Brother Davis the other day, or while we were talking to your dad, and And he got up. I said, "Well, we appreciate you know your daughter and son-in-law." I said, "We know they can't do it by themselves." And Brother David says, "No, we have to do it." Amen. If we leave it up to them, we'll fail. If they leave it all up to us, we'll fail too. But all together, we can do many things, and we respect our leaders. Our focus verse today was 1 Samuel 26:23. "The Lord render to every man his righteousness and his faithfulness. For the Lord delivered thee into my hand today, but I will not stretch forth my hand against the Lord's anointed." Now we say, well, we don't have any anointed today. We have lots of anointed. One thing, the word is anointed. And should we stretch forth our hands toward the word? Should we take away from the word? Should we disrespect the word? No, sir. Jesus Christ himself, when he was tempted, in every case, he said, "It is written." If Jesus Christ has to go according to the word of God, and if he puts his trust in that word, surely we should. Amen. The word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword. Amen. Every time I read the word of God, and I read it through several times, every time I read the word of God, I find something different. A lot of times, every time I reread a verse, I find something different. It's a book that you'll never get done reading. And it deserves all our respect. It's the only anointed book in the world. Amen. But you know, we have one thing about serving God, and even as a leader, the first thing we've got to do, we've got to fear the Lord. Today, they want to take the fear out of it. Today, they say, "Oh, no, no, the Bible said that Jesus was a friend of sinners." You better look back and see who said that. The Pharisee hypocrite said that. He said Jesus was a friend of sinners because he ate with the sinners. Well, he ate with those whom he come to save. But he said, "You are my friends if you keep my commandments." See, we got to get into the boat. Amen. And God's trying to make, he's made a way for us to get into the boat. And then we become the friends of God because we keep his commandment. Now, if people want to say, "Well, God's my friend for a sinner, they've never done going through the works of salvation," if they won't say that, that's fine. But what's bad about it, it kind of gives them maybe a comfort or an easing that might make them bypass salvation. "Well, he's my friend. He's not going to judge me." We judge ourselves, amen, because of how we approach the Word of God, how we go with the Word of God. But without the aid of fear, even the temporal things can't be successful. You get up every day with some kind of fear. Amen. Whether it be because of where your body's going, whether it be because you don't have enough in the refrigerator, you go to work every day because you fear. You fear hunger, you fear homelessness, you fear all of these things. So all of these things, fear is a motivator. And if you don't have fear, fear is put in us for a purpose. If we didn't have fear, the world wouldn't go around. And we treat the worldly things pretty good. I mean, we take care of this flesh. Amen. When I got up and got into my car, that seat was too cold. I pushed a button, warmed it up. I take care of this flesh. When we started out, the car was too cold. I pushed another button, get that climate just right. If it's not just right, I'll turn it down a notch or two. But I'm always looking out for this flesh. If we would cater to the spirit like we cater to the flesh, amen, we could go a long way. Amen, because I don't want this old flesh to suffer. The word says that fear is the beginning of wisdom. It means you come to God in fear. When I was such a rascal when I was out in the world, I was 27, I was in a total mess. And I feared a lot of things. But one thing I began to fear was Almighty God and judgment that would come on me. I began to look for a way out of my place that I was in because of fear. They say, oh, we don't have to fear God. You must fear God. If you don't fear God, you won't serve Him. And we have to obey them that has rule over us. Now, I was in the military, and when I was in boot camp, I was in Marine boot camp, and they never called me anything good for 13 weeks. Not one time did they give me a compliment. They wanted me to know exactly where I was at, and I had nowhere to look but up. And I was scared to death of one little stripe on somebody's sleeve. They had put that much into me, that much discipline, that much fear, because they couldn't operate without fear. If they didn't have discipline, they would break down. And so were the works of God. Now, when I got out, I began to get some stripes. And I was backed up all the way to the President of the United States. Backed those stripes up in the authority that I had. And God, the authority of our leaders, is the same way. They're backed up all the way up to the top. Amen? If you don't like Brother Titus, respect him for his rank. That's what the military is. I seen some of them jokers I didn't like a bit. But I knew their authority, and I feared them. And we have to. If the fear goes, so does society. You ever take a little thread and pull on it? It's just like Christian values. You do away from them, it all goes out. It all raffles out, or however you want to call that. He'll come apart. Just that one little string, you pull it. And you go against the Word of God, and that's what happens. It unravels. It unravels the whole thing. In the military, if you take away their chain of command, it unravels the whole thing. Amen. And we have to look into the Word of God for all our needs, all the things that we need. Philippians 2 and 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. They should put continue here, because they were doing things right. Continue. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That means you do it with great humility and respect and awe of this mighty God that we serve. We don't do it, just make it a cheap grace. I'm not, I know that I have in times past been under some leadership that was like a bull in a china shop. They were tearing everything down. You couldn't do nothing right. But as we grow in God and we understand more, amen, maybe it's not that we look at sin any different. We look at people. A lot of times before I'll ever get up here and I teach, I'll look around and look and see what's out there. You know why? Because the Bible says some can only take milk of the word. And you have to know your crowd. You have to know those who you're teaching. Amen, but we must fear the one that can destroy most body and soul. Amen. We fear man today. Even sometime in our pulpits, they fear man. And the world has begun to lead the church instead of the church leading the world. Amen. But we see here, our first fear, with fear and trembling, our first fear must be to God before anything else will work. Nothing else will work. If you don't have the fear of God, nothing else will follow it. Amen. And 2 Corinthians 7 and 15 give a little on it before we say anything about it. Now, Paul has sent Titus, amen, to the Corinthian church to see how they'd be. The reason he did that, because in his 1 Corinthians, he sent a letter to them that rebuked them. So he sent Titus to see how, I believe, to see how things were. And Titus sent back with a good report. In 2 Corinthians 7 and 15, and his inward affection is more abundant towards you, whilst he remembers the obedience of you all, how with fear and trembling you received him. I don't know how other ministers feel, or when I teach, you know, I feel really good when they receive me, receive what I have to say, and they take it, you know, in obedience and remembrance, and they just treat you real good. They say, "Oh, you did good, brother. You did good. I like that," you know, rather than when you come close, they turn around like that so they don't have to lie to you. So that's how they received him. They received him good in the obedience of you all, how with fear and trembling you received him. They were in obedience to what Paul had wrote to them in 1 Corinthians. They obeyed that. And when Titus came, they were just ready to receive him. Why? Because sometimes, you know, when we have an evangelist and a revival, we're not ready to receive him. It's good when you are ready for revival. And they were ready for revival. They received Titus. Amen. And they received him with great humility and respect and awe of the mighty God that he served. Now, they didn't know Titus. They was receiving him because who he was, who he represented, the rank, if you will, that he had in God. And we don't, one thing that I think we all should do, as we see that David did. Now, David wouldn't touch God's anointed, and Saul, that rascal needed David to touch him. I mean, he needed to hit real hard. But sometimes we look at some, well, they deserve what they get. But you know, our judgment should always be tempered with mercy. Why? God had mercy upon us. Forgiving my sins as even as I forgive them who sin against me. Should always be tendered with mercy. Amen, because God is merciful. Now we're going to get into something. Oh my goodness. I gave him about 25 verses, and I ain't going to get to five, I don't think. But that's all right. But if we respected our leaders, amen, and got right behind them. Now, when things get a little rough, maybe when, I don't think he should have done that. Well, keep that between you and God, you know. Because, folks, I've been places where, amen, these things come in, they get so out of hand. Because one goes to another, another goes to another, another goes to another. If I can't take it to him, I ain't going to take it to nobody. Amen. Amen. I won't go to him with the little petty stuff either. It'll be scripture. We should rightly divide the scripture. Amen. He said in a place there where the word came to him, it said, and then they went home and studied the scripture, see if these things be. I don't think a pastor would mind a bit if somebody came to him and said, "Could you help me with this scripture?" Because that's what we're all about, the scripture. 1 Thessalonians 5:12. Says, "And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you." Admonish means to put into mind, instruct, and warn. Amen. It says, and verse 13 says, "And to esteem them very highly in love for their works' sake." That's the key right there. Amen. When I was in the military, when an officer come by, I stood at attention. I saluted him. You know why? For his work's sake. Amen. For the position he held and what he had. And I saluted him. And if I ever came up to one of them and said, "Look, you don't rate my salute," I probably wouldn't be here today. Because that is a position they hold. You have to hold that up too, the anointing. Now we take the verses that we read about David here and how that he was so respectful to Saul, who didn't deserve it. If we'll look at those things, amen, and have our judgment tempered with mercy, amen, there'll be a lot of things that what I like to do sometime is look back behind me and see all the things God had to forgive me for. And sometimes I can look over a lot of things. I ain't even going back before I got in church. You don't even want to hear that. But I about the things even after I got mistakes I've made and the things where I got off the path and those kind of things. Amen. Judge not lest you be judged. Now if I judge you for every little bitty thing, then when I violate that little bitty thing, that's what that means, then you're going to judge me. Amen. A lot of times in the world, they look for the church people to be perfect. And when they see that we're not, they think that gives them the green light to just go into any direction that they want to go. Amen. But we live in the grace dispensation at a time that, amen, we can come before the throne of grace boldly, amen, and receive Jesus Christ in our life. Amen. We know that our leader, we've done all we can to kind of prove our leaders to before we put them in leadership, see what kind of person it was, all this and that, how the Bible says, and go right on down to it. And our leader in this church got 100% vote. So he should have 100% backing, right? All right. Now we're going to flip the coin and get on the other side of the coin. Amen. Proverbs 29 and 12. If a ruler, he can lie, all his servants are wicked. See, we pick the leader the best we can because we want him to be a certain way. We don't want him to be a drunkard. We don't want him to be worldly. We don't want him to be an adultery and all of these other things. So we pick our leaders the best we can. Amen, but not all the time that can happen. Now, I don't know if anybody ever read the biography of the documentary of Jim Jones. Now, he came into Assemblies of God Church. He had a gift that he could cause people to listen to him. But he had that gift, but yet he was still a novice. The Bible says being not a novice. He didn't know the Word of God like he ought to have. He should have sat under people for a lot longer. Amen. Until he was no longer a novice. In the military, they promote you. But if you're a novice at the bottom of the scale and you don't know nothing, amen, they're going to try to beat all that flesh out of you. Amen. And then when they start giving you rank as you deserve it. And then they do that because of your past record. Same way that we can pick our leaders. Proverbs, Psalm 7 and 8. The Lord shall judge the people. Judge me, O Lord, according to my righteousness, according to mine integrity that is in me. That's how God is going to judge us, how David judged me this way. He said, now this was when David was writing in the Psalms. Now everybody knows the story of David. How David fell one time. How that he did something that was terrible. That today he would have been thrown in jail for it. Because he caused another man to die. Unless if he's in, certainly if he's in the military, he lost all of his rank. Caused another man to die and took his wife. Now David, all up to this time, the Bible says David was a man after God's own heart. And we say, how did he ever fall into that? He got his eyes off the Lord. Remember, he was staying in his house while the men went out to do battle. See, we have to be in the battle with him, but he has to be in the battle with us. So David got his eyes off the Lord. But did he get? He didn't get by with it. Judgment never left his house after that. Amen. I'm going to read a scripture to you, something that God told David that's still affecting us today because of this sin. 1 Samuel 12 and 14. Because of this deed, thou have given great occasion to the enemies of God to blaspheme. How many times have you ever had David throwed up in your face when you was talking about things? See, David's sin, that sin right there has caused many to blaspheme, many to say, well, then what you're saying don't mean anything. Look at David. But you can look at David, but look at us. Did you know the sword never left his house? You think about it for salvation goes. We're saved by the grace of God, amen, filled with the Holy Ghost, yet we're still carrying this old sinful flesh around. And it's still got the curse. Same curse that David got for his sin. We still got that curse for ours. Amen. And we all need the same satisfaction of that. God demanded, amen, that people be made righteous. He couldn't find a one of us to, we couldn't go shed our blood upon anything because our blood was sinful. We couldn't take nothing, even an animal's blood. It was righteous, no sin. I ain't never seen a rabbit sin. They just don't do it. They do what rabbits do, what God had made them to do. There was no curse upon them. I guess except back when I was, in my day, we was after them with a shotgun and a dog. I guess that's a curse. But God has done something that to bring mankind back. And he set leaders over us. Why? To help us. Amen. To lead us in the way that we should go. To help direct our paths. But what has he got to do? He's got to go to the written word. And just like it has always been. Our integrity is, in the Greek, is opposite of mischief. What does it say in the verse 7 and 8? It says, Lord shall judge the people. Judge me, O Lord, according to my righteousness, according to my integrity. Integrity is not having any mischief. It's being righteous and holy. And in Webster's, it means the quality of being honest and having strong moral principles, moral uprightness. Faithfulness is steadfastness in the faith. It's the quality of being faithful to God, being faithful to his word. And how are we going to be faithful to his word unless we get into the word? Amen. My time's up. Amen. I didn't get really anywhere that I wanted to go, but I think I've made the point. I want to read something to you back here. After David had been merciful to Saul, in 1 Samuel 24 and 18. I hope I got this one right. Yes. And thou hast showed this day how that thou hast dealt well with me. Isn't that testimony we should want to fear? For as much as when the Lord had... That's not what I want. Amen. It's in here. Isn't there something, you put something down and you know it's here and you can't even find it? But the Lord is good, amen. What it was saying, what it meant, David had called back to Saul and he said, even as I have showed thee mercy this day, he said, even though that the Lord will show mercy unto me. See, David did the right thing. And that's what I wanted to read in this reading. I know I'm looking right over it. Maybe I'm the only one that's ever done that, but here we are. I got it. 1 Samuel 26:24. And behold, as thy life was much set by this day in mine eyes, see, he counted his life precious. Amen. So let my life be much set in the eyes of the Lord, and let him deliver me out of all tribulation. Just do the right thing. Do the right thing. David did the right thing, and what? And God blessed him. God blessed him tremendously. I know he had a bump in the road, and it was a big one. Amen. But I wish I could look back in my life, and my life would look like David. David did something that the sword never left his house. Amen. But how the Bible says some people, they'll throw it in your face many times. Judge not, lest you be judged. This is true. Amen. But Jesus judged all the time. We can judge things right or wrong. Amen. But the thing that we have, our judgment should be tempered with mercy. Amen. It's not that we look over things that God has made us blind to sin. We don't see sin no more. It's not that we're not even tempted ourselves. Amen. But we can look at the world with different eyes. When I was in the world, if you did something wrong with me, I'm going to do something wrong to you. Sad to say, but that still goes on in the church. I'm not letting him get by with that. Now that's nonsense. He shouldn't have done that. But it always should be tempered with mercy. If that's how we did our lives, everybody did their lives, especially in the church. The church, I believe, would strive. Because I've been in the church long enough. I've seen the negative. I've seen the good. You know, when you put a cherry in your mouth, you don't eat the seed. You spit it out. The bad, spit it out. But take the good. God bless you. I hope I helped you some today. Musicians would come. Hey, man, I love the Lord today, and a lot like some people say, I've been in the way for a long time. I hope I haven't been in the way. I hope I've just been here and done good. But a lot of times I know I've been in the way, and David got in the way once. But amen. But our judgment should be tempered with mercy. God bless you. Now this time we usually spend some time in prayer, and if you have to have a drink of water, you go to the bathroom or whatever you do, and the service will start in just 10 minutes. So God bless you.